in 1969. Srila Prabhupada resided in this ancient farmhouse for approximately 1 month. New Vrindavan began here. Kirtanananda Maharaj and Hayajiva Prabhu. They were searching for a rural land because that was one of Prabhupada's prominent desires in establishing ISKCON, that there be farm communities. But at that time, our movement had no funds. So in a newspaper in San Francisco, they found that for 99 years, there was a 99-year lease. Unfortunately, no vehicle could get here. You had to walk about 2 or 3 miles up a muddy road over mountains to come here. So they came, and they invited Srila Prabhupada. In Montreal, they met him. And Srila Prabhupada, as benevolent and compassionate as he is, he agreed to come. Srila Prabhupada had to walk a majority of the road because the vehicle got stuck, did not operate. From that time, the road was given the name Agasura because it devoured all devotees who tried to pass through it. When Srila Prabhupada was here, he actually, you could say, installed Vrindavan in this place. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Advaitacharya Prabhu, exclaimed that wherever the lotus feet of the Lord or His pure devotees are, that place is Vrindavan, because their feet never leave Vrindavan, His spirit. So when Prabhupada came here, he gave a vision that this would be New Vrindavan. And he explained what Vrindavan was in India. Vrindavan is the land which is the eternal abode of Lord Krishna. In the spiritual world, in Krishna Loka, the most intimate sector is Goloka, or Vrindavan. That is where Krishna performs his eternal lila with the Supreme Goddess of Fortune, Srimati Radharani, Gopas and Gopis. Once in a day of Brahma, the Lord, in His supreme original form of Shamsundar, descends into this material universe. And with Him, He brings the land of Vrindavan. When it comes to this world, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains, it becomes Gokul Vrindavan. The difference between Goloka and Gokula is simply one is eternally in the spiritual world and one manifests within this world. Krishna performed his most beautiful pastimes of love in Vrindavan Dham. In order to attract all of our hearts back to his loving service. The record of these pastimes have been given by Krishna in the Vedic literatures, in the Puranas especially, and in their most highest essence in Srimad Bhagavatam, the Mahapurana. When Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna, appearing in the Kali Yuga, came to this world, he wanted Vrindavan in its full glory to attract people from all over the world. Thus he walked all the way from Jagannath Puri to Vrindavan Dham, through the Jharikhanda forest, through Varanasi. Perhaps well over 1,000 kilometers. When he came, it is explained by Kaviraj Goswami, his biographer, when Lord Chaitanya was in Puri, the thought of Vrindavan would increase the ecstasies of his love many times. When he was walking to Vrindavan through Jharikhanda forest, he was in such spiritual ecstasy that that happiness increased by hundreds of times. His happiness was so deep, not only what he was enjoying himself, but he wanted to share that ecstasy with everyone. Even the tigers, the elephants, the snakes, the plants, and the birds. He infused them all with the perfection of love of God as he was chanting and dancing through the forest. When he came to Mathura and bathed in the Vishwamghat, the Jamuna, that ecstasy increased hundreds of times. When he entered into the 12 forests of Vrindavan, that ecstasy increased unlimitedly. When Lord Chaitanya was in Vrindavan, he came home. Even the deers, the cows, they would gather around, licking him, smelling him, greeting him, gazing at him with tearful eyes, welcoming their eternal friend back home to Vrindavan. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remained in Vrindavan for about 2 months. He came on Kartik Purnima and stayed until the month of Magh. Our acharyas tell us that he was happy to remain there only. After all, it was his long desire to come to Vrindavan. When he first took initiation from Ishwarapuri, immediately he started running to Vrindavan. But a celestial voice in the sky told him that your mission is to establish Harinam Sankirtan in Navadvip. Go to Vrindavan later. Now you perform your mission to save the fallen souls. So he gave up his desire to go to Vrindavan and went to Navadvip, which ultimately is not different than Vrindavan. And there he established Harinam Sankirtan with his devotees at the house of Srivas Chandrasekhar and even in the streets. In order to reach the most rebellious, stubborn, fallen souls, even the blasphemers, the Lord accepted sannyas in a place called Katva or Kanaka Nagar from Kesha Bharati Maharaj. Immediately after he received his name, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, his danda, and the sannyas mantra, he danced in ecstasy and proclaimed, I will go to Vrindavan now. After all, I have now renounced the world, there is no need to go to Vrindavan. So he began dancing to Vrindavan. Kesha Bharati and everyone came following him. After some time, he embraced his sannyas guru and told him, you must go back to your ashram. I will go to Vrindavan. He was so eager for Vrindavan. So eager. When he saw the Ganga, he thought it must be the Jamuna. And Nityananda Prabhu understood his ecstasies. But Nityananda Prabhu also understood the actual heart of the Lord. The Lord is more concerned with the welfare of the fallen. He is more concerned with pleasing his devotees than he is about his own ecstasy. Nityananda was such a transcendental person. Actually, Lord Chaitanya at one time told Nityananda Prabhu, do not come back to Puri every year. Stay in Bengal and preach. And the next year, Lord Nityananda came to Puri. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami tells No one can understand the mind of Nityananda. He's actually not different than Lord Chaitanya. He's Balaram Shakti. He is Balaram himself. He perfectly knows the innermost heart of the Lord. So he told some cowherd boys, when this sannyasi asks you which way is Vrindavan and Jamuna, you point the way of Shantipur and Ganga. So the Lord saw Ganga after following these instructions and began bathing and offering obeisances to Jamuna, offering prayers to Jamuna. And then Advaitacharya, who happened to be informed by Nityananda Prabhu of the Lord's coming, came with some dry set of cloth on a boat. And the Lord said, "What are you doing here in Vrindavan?" Advaitacharya didn't understand. He said, "This is Ganga, this is Shantipur." The Lord said, "Nityananda Prabhu has tricked me." So we can understand how the Lord longed to go to Vrindavan. And when in Puri, again and again and again, he would beg permission of the devotees, "Please let me go to Vrindavan. I cannot go without your blessings and permission." The devotees, "Yes, yes, you can go. But first, we should celebrate Rath Yatra." The Lord could not refuse the request of his loving devotees. After Rath Yatra, now it is Chaturmasya. You should wait till after Chaturmasya. When Chaturmasya was finished, they said, "Now it is actually too cold. You should wait till Doli Yatra. Then springtime you can go." And then after Doli Yatra, the Lord said, "Now can I go to Vrindavan?" They said, "Rath Yatra's coming." In this way, for several years, the Lord remained longing. And then he revealed his heart. "I'm longing. I'm crying to go to Vrindavan. Please give me your blessings." And then the devotees felt very bad. They felt that they were, for their own purposes, they were obstructing his journey. So they said, "You can go, but we will all go with you." So many people were going to Vrindavan. But Lord Chaitanya would not allow Gadadhar Pandit to come. Because Gadadhar Pandit was the pujari of Tota Gopinath. And he took vow of Khetra Sannyas. Do you know what is Khetra Sannyas? Khetra Sannyas means you never, ever, ever leave the place where you worship your deity. You always stay there for your whole life. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a Khetra Sannyasi, although he was married with children and grandchildren also. But he vowed never to leave the city of Lord Jagannath, his worshipable deity. Now this Gopinath deity, according to some great scholars of Orissa, it is the original deity of the world. When Lord Brahma was revealed the highest truth at the dawn of creation, the Supreme Personality of God had appeared in this form of Gopinath, and Brahma, to glorify him, chanted the Brahma Samhita. So it is the oldest deity of the creation. And that deity was given to Gadadhar Pandit by Lord Chaitanya to worship. So when the Lord was going to Vrindavan, Gadadhar said, "I'm coming with you." The Lord said, "No, you are not coming with me. You must stay and worship Gopinath." And he said, "Wherever you are, your lotus feet, wherever your lotus feet are, that seeing your lotus feet is like worshipping Gopinath millions and millions of times. But you have taken a vow of Khetra Sannyas." And Gadadhar Pandit gave a very profound philosophical reply to that. He said, "To hell with my Khetra." "I'm going with you. You're going to Vrindavan. I am going to Vrindavan." The Lord said, "But if you go to Vrindavan, then I will be the cause of your breaking your vow." I cannot take this responsibility. He said, I'm not going with you. I'm going to visit your mother, Sachi, because I want to see her, and I'll go to Vrindavan on my own. It has nothing to do with you. So Lord Chaitanya was walking, and he was walking a little on the side. He wasn't exactly in the group. And they came to one big river. Maharaj Prataparudra arranged accommodations, food, beautiful boats to serve the devotees wherever they went. So Lord Chaitanya, when he was about to cross this river, which was really coming out of the precinct of Jagannath Puri, he called Gadadhar, you come. Gadadhar Pandit approached the Lord. He said, now you are successful, you left Puri. Now you go back and worship Gopinath. He said, I will not hear any reply from you. It is my desire. Go back to Gopinath. Then the Lord left on the boat. And Gadadhar Pandit fell unconscious in separation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, please take care of him. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said to Gadadhar Pandit, you are so fortunate. How the Lord loves you. Actually, the separation of you from the Lord is so painful. But just to protect your vow, he's experiencing so much agony himself. Just like Krishna. Krishna was willing to break his own promise to protect Bhishmas. In the same way, the Lord is willing to endure the pain of separation from you just to protect your promise, your vow. So Gadadhar Pandit went back, and Lord Chaitanya went forward. What a trip that was. In Navadvip, tens and millions of people came begging forgiveness for offenses. It was wonderful kirtan. And then from Navadvip, when the Lord left for Vrindavan, tens and millions of people followed him. Can you imagine that? The Sankirtan procession. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing and singing. They came to Ramkeli, the capital of the Mughal king who hated Hindus and outlawed any public demonstration of Hindu faith. And right in his city, there's millions of people tumultuously chanting the Maha Mantra and dancing in ecstasy with drums and instruments and horns. The Lord was fearless. And the devotees, just being with the Lord, became fearless. After that kirtan, the two chief ministers of the Nawab Husain Shah, Dabir Khas and Sakar Mala, they disguised themselves in the middle of the night. The Lord was sitting under a tamal tree, which was right beside a kadamba tree. Remember that place?
Yes.
In Ramkeli. There, these two brothers, three brothers, they completely surrendered their lives in the ultimate state of genuine humility. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted them as his own eternal associates. He picked them up, bathed them with his tears as he embraced them. He said, stop speaking with such humility, it's breaking my heart. The Lord gave them the names Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, along with their brother Anupam. Sanatan Goswami advised Lord Chaitanya, better you'd go to Vrindavan with only a few people or yourself, not with millions. The next morning, Lord Chaitanya went to Kanai Natashala. Beautiful, beautiful hill with wonderful trees which perfectly represent Vrindavan itself. And there the Lord accepted Sanatan Goswami's advice and said, I will return to Puri. So when he came to Puri, he told the devotees that Krishna would not allow me to go to Vrindavan because I hurt the heart of Gadadhar Pandit. Unless he gives me his blessings and his heartfelt permissions, Krishna will not allow me to go. This is a very important lesson. If you do not please the Vaishnavas, if you hurt the heart of Vaishnavas, Krishna will not give you entrance into Vrindavan, whoever you are, whatever you do. Gadadhar Pandit was embarrassed. He said, "You are the independent supreme personality of Godhead. Come to my house for prasad. Stay some time. And when the rainy season is finished, then you go to Vrindavan." So the Lord went with only one servant, Balabhadra Bhattacharya, and an assistant. And we have explained the anticipation of the Lord going to Vrindavan through Jarikanda forest. Then he came to Mathura, and he roamed through all the 12 forests. The perfection of the essence of his ecstasy. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani. And we learn from Radharani's prayers at Kurukshetra that her home, her heart is her home. Her heart and her home is only Vrindavan. But yet, Balabhadra Bhattacharya requested the Lord after 2 months to go back to Puri. It was very difficult for him because so many Brijbasis and other villagers were coming with invitations for the Lord. And the Lord was in so much ecstasy. Balabhadra Bhattacharya didn't know how he could protect him from his own ecstasies in the Holy Land. So just to please his devotee, he left Vrindavan to go back to Puri. But while he was there, he discovered Radha Kund and Shama Kund. He performed the parikrama of Govardhan. He worshipped the deity of Adi Keshav, Haridev. When he was in Prayag with Rupa Goswami and Varanasi with Sanatan Goswami, he requested them. In fact, he ordered them. "You both Vrindavan and you reside there. Build beautiful temples. Establish deity worship. By your example, show people the proper lifestyle of living in Vrindavan, in the renounced order. Write literatures extracting the essence of all knowledge, Vedas, pure unalloyed devotion to Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan." On the order of Lord Chaitanya, Rupin Sanatan, along with Raghunath Das Goswami, Gopal Bhatt Goswami, Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, and Srila Jiva Goswami, they roamed throughout the 12 forests of Vrindavan and actually showed the world the very places where Radha and Krishna, the gopas and the gopis, performed their divine eternal leelas. Because in Vrindavan Dham, the Lord's Leela is eternally being enacted if we have the pure vision to perceive it. Rimanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena. If one's eyes are anointed with the ornament of love, Krishna reveals his pastimes to us in the holy land of Vrindavan. But if we have material vision, then we must see the external, apparent material covering. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted Rupa and Sanatan to establish temples, to establish philosophy, and to establish the lifestyle by which people could actually enter into the essence of Vrindavan. Not only in Vrindavan, but in one's own heart, wherever one may be residing. So they built Madan Mohan, Govindaji Temple, Gopinath Temple, Radharaman Temple, Arvino Temple, Shamsundar Temple. To establish it as a holy place. And from that time, so many great acharyas came to reside in Vrindavan. Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya, we heard about them just the other day. They were living in Vrindavan, but on Jiva Goswami's instruction, he sent them out to preach to Orissa, to Bengal, and to other various provinces. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, was residing in Vrindavan. First at the Bamsi Gopal Temple, right on the banks of Jamuna, near Keshi Ghat. Then he lived in Sri Radha Damodar Temple. For those of you who know Vrindavan Dham, Radha Damodar Temple is in Sevakunj. That's the area of Vrindavan Dham, Rajbhumi, where the most intimate leelas of the rasa dance take place. That is the place where Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Gopal Bhatt Goswami, Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, all the six Goswamis would gather there on a regular basis to perform kirtan, to have harikatha, and to plan how they're going to write literatures and preach in such a way to establish the mission of the Lord throughout the world. It was in that place, in the very heart of Vrindavan Dham, which is the heart of the universe, that Srila Prabhupada. But on the order of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda coming through Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada was living there preparing to bring Vrindavan to the world. This was his longing, this was his compassion, this was his mission. Not to simply enjoy living in Vrindavan, but to bring the spirit, the energy of Vrindavan to every town and village of the world through the congregational chanting of the holy names. Srila Prabhupada was writing back to Godhead. Then he began Srimad Bhagavatam. When he completed the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, he got the blessing of his Guru Maharaj, Sri Radha Damodar and Sri Rupa Goswami. Prabhupada every day would sit right at the samadhi, the tomb of Rupa Goswami, and pray for his mercy. Then Prabhupada went to Bombay, somehow or other after many preaching programs, begged and got a ticket to New York City. I remember there was a newspaper reporter, actually it's printed, this dialogue, where one Indian gentleman was asking Prabhupada, why did you go to New York? Why not London? Your Guru Maharaj sent his disciples to London. London is the center of the world. In this occasion, Prabhupada, so humble, he told a story. He said that Sumati Morarji of the Scindia Steamship Company, she gave me a free ticket. Her boats only went to New York. They did not stop in London. So he was just completely surrendered and dependent on Krishna's mercy. Of course, at other times he did explain that actually New York became the capital of Maya's influence in the world. That was the heart of Maya's power, and he wanted to go there. The most powerful, wealthy kingdom of Maya. And here is this 70-year-old little Bengali sadhu who had just endured two major heart attacks, seasickness, paralysis. And he's with no money, no friends, no contacts. And he's come to conquer Maya's kingdom. That was Srila Prabhupada. So in 22nd Avenue, it was only about 5 or 6 people who were taking interest. There was no money. In fact, they got the first month's rent somehow or other. And they told Swamiji that we cannot promise the next month's rent. So here he is in a little storefront in the Lower East Side of New York with a few people, not even initiated, who are just taking interest. And he makes the charter to corporate his institution and calls it the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Devotees could not understand. It's international? This is all there is. It's one little tiny place in New York. And then Prabhupada explained that there was going to be temples all over the world. There was going to be millions of books distributed widely. And he explained he wanted to establish a place of pilgrimage in the Western world to reveal Krishna's pastimes. What vision Srila Prabhupada had. He had nothing, no one. 70 years old. He just came out of a near-death crisis. And he has such ambitious plans with no help. And just a couple years later, he came here. He walked up that muddy road. And you see around, there's nothing here. There used to be an old barn that was later torn down. The houses over here came much later. Prabhupada was sitting up here. And at that time, this temple, the wall was where that pillar is. That was the end of the house. What you see beyond this is a modern addition. That was considered a very vast expansion also. Devotees were just shocked to think how big the temple is. But when Prabhupada came, the wall was where that pillar is. And this was the kitchen back here. The altar actually came out. Up to you. Huh? No? Oh, the altar was there. This didn't exist. So anyways, the temple was about half the size it is now. And this has really, in the mid-80s, this place was opulently renovated. The floor, the walls, the plaster, everything has been renovated. Even the wood outside. This was really a shabby, old, wrecked house. About 100 years old. Prabhupada was sitting up here telling the devotees that this is New Vrindavan. In fact, he writes in Chaitanya Charitamrita that New Vrindavan in West Virginia of America is none different than Goloka Vrindavan. Because of the spirit of simplicity and devotion that is meant to be. And he told you should build Madan Mohan Temple, Radha Govindaji Temple, Radha Damodar Temple, Radha Raman Temple, Radha Gokulananda Temple, Radha Sham Sundar Temple, Radha Giridhari Temple. There should be Keshigat. You see this hill right next to this house? Prabhupada said, that is Govardhan Hill. This mountain, Prabhupada said, that is Govardhan Hill. When he heard about some place where the devotees were bathing in a creek down below the hill, he said, that will be Keshigat. He said, you should also make Shamakund and Radhakund. Of course, we should understand the principle of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. That one and different. Obviously, Giriraj Govardhan in Brajbhumi is the original Govardhan Hill. But when Prabhupada said this is Govardhan Hill, he meant is if devotees on the basis of his prayer and vision, if the devotees honor this as Govardhan Hill and remember Govardhan Hill and remember Krishna's Govardhan Leela by seeing this, they will get the same effects as being at Govardhan Hill. Because Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's mercy is not limited to geographical limitations. So Prabhupada ordered devotees to make this Vrindavan. In fact, he said, you should get all this land around, you should purchase it. And ultimately, he said, you should buy all of West Virginia. And make it New Vrindavan. Anyways, so much more land. At one time, it was about 100 acres, and then it came up to about 5,000 acres of land as it expanded. And then Prabhupada said, you can name the new, when they found out a new property was there, he said, you call this Bahulaban, you call this Madhuban. Prabhupada wanted New Vrindavan to be a place of pilgrimage, where people, without going all the way to India, because how many Americans will go all the way to India? If they can, that's wonderful. But they should get the same spiritual experience of going on pilgrimage to Vrindavan by coming to New Vrindavan. That was how accessible Prabhupada made Krishna's mercy and the mercy of the Dham. That was his vision. That month that Srila Prabhupada stayed was the beginning of the real history of New Vrindavan. There was Kirtanananda Maharaj, Hayagriva Prabhu. One devotee just came out of a mental hospital. And he immediately, Bellevue Mental Hospital in New York, he was preached to by a devotee there. And as soon as he got discharged, he came to New Vrindavan. Huh? Ranadir Prabhu. Yeah. So Srila Prabhupada agreed to come. And one of the very, very few people who was eyewitness to Prabhupada's pastimes and words here is amongst us today. Her name is Chintamani Devi Mataji. And she was here, I believe, the entire month that Prabhupada was here. She came here with Prabhupada from Columbus, Ohio. Athens, Ohio, yes? Athens to Columbus. She was initiated by Prabhupada at that time in 1969, and she has been faithfully serving Srila Prabhupada since that time. In fact, she was worshipping little deities of Jagannath Baladev Subhadra. And her husband accepted sannyas. And she approached Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, every woman should have a husband. So Jagannath will be your husband. And Balaram and Subhadra will be your son and daughter. You serve them in that way. After in 1972, when I came and I was living up here with just a few other people, Chintamani Mataji came with her deities of Jagannath, put them on. This altar was not here at that time, but she put them on the altar. And we were so fortunate to have one of Prabhupada's associates. And living right on the hill of Govardhan, Hayagriva Prabhu was living with his wife and son, Samba, who was a little baby. So we grew up here at New Vrindavan in those days, just hearing about Srila Prabhupada's mercy, Prabhupada's vision, and Prabhupada's love for New Vrindavan. And what is his love for New Vrindavan? It is his love for all conditioned souls, to bring them back home, back to God. At this time, We sincerely request Chintamani Mataji to illuminate our hearts with her candid eyewitness remembrances of Srila Prabhupada here in Vrindavan in 1969. Thank you very much.